In these passages, the Apostle Paul began to convey some information about our redemption, how important it is for us to be redeemed, and what we are redeemed from. Anytime I start to think about the subject of redemption, I'm reminded of a story I heard about a little boy, and his dad was a woods craftsman, and he and his father built a sailboat. They worked for a long time on this little sailboat, and the boy went down to the lake to see if it would float and see if it would sail, and put it on the lake, and it got away from him, and he lost it. He went home crying to his dad and said, "Dad, you know, the sailboat we worked so hard to build, it's gone. I put it on the lake, and it floated away, and I couldn't get it back, and it's gone. I can't find it. His dad said, "Well, let's go to the store, just buy one." Typical of fathers, we just don't want to go through all that again. We'll have time for it. So we'll go to the store. We'll go downtown and see if we can't find one already built, already made. And they happened by a pawn shop, and there, in the window, was that sailboat that they had built. The little boy ran in to the pawn shop owner and said, "That's my sailboat. I made that. I built that." And the pawn shop owner said, "Well, you know, I'm sorry. I don't have any evidence of that. You know, somebody brought that in, and if you want that sailboat, you're going to have to buy it." And the boy complained for a few moments, but he wanted his sailboat that he had built back, and so he paid the price. And on the way home, he looked at that sailboat and said, "I own you twice. I made you, and I bought you." And that's how it is with God. God made us, and He has provided a means by which we can be bought. And that word used to describe that purchase is the word redemption. We sang it in the last song, how that we are so blessed because of the grace that has come to us through redemption. It is redemption that opened the floodgates of grace and mercy to the human race. Jesus paid the price. Now, in these passages, in Galatians, he talks about the price that was paid to redeem us from the curse of the law. It's a judicial act that transpires when Jesus redeems one. When he redeems us, he purchases us. And so, Paul was talking about that, and he said, "When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, 'Abba, Father.'" I guess today most of us are unlearned when it comes to the subject of redemption. You go to the book of Leviticus chapter 25, and there you'll read about the laws and regulations that were given to Israel about redeeming things that were lost. It wasn't like it is today. People didn't file bankruptcy. If you could not pay your bills, you were sold into slavery. Now, somebody who loved you, like a friend or a relative, could redeem you. Actually, today we have in some laws, and like Alabama, I think, they have, if they're foreclosed on and you lose your property, you've got up to 1 year to redeem that. Like if you lose your property, within a year's time, whoever ended up with that property and paid the debtors off, they could go back and redeem that. As long as you paid the price, you could receive your property back. There's 1 year you have to redeem something that was lost. And in the book of Leviticus, it talks about that. The point is this. God is a God of redemption. He follows the legal judicial standards. And there's a legal judicial standard when it comes to redeeming the human race. There had to be a price paid God is a God of redemption. Now, there are several passages in the New Testament, like in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, where it talks about how that we are, that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost, and that God has, that He owns us. The question was asked, don't you know that God owns you? And He says in verse 20 of the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians, He says, you are bought with a price. Bought with a price. And He says, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. You look in like Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. There's another passage that talks about how that the elders were set over the churches by the Holy Ghost. And He says, take heed to yourself that, and the flock which the Holy Ghost has made you an overseer, and feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. Did you notice those words? Bought. Purchased. A price was paid. All of these words fall within the sphere and the circumference of the definition of redemption. But the word redemption has a unique and a very special definition. Actually, in that particular day, when the New Testament was written, the word redemption had a significant relevance to slavery. Actually, some of the Greek words that are used in the New Testament specifically have reference to paying the price for purchasing someone from slavery. We typically say, have you paid your bill? And they said, yes. Well, what about the utility bill? Yes. Well, what about the water bill? Well, that particular word, redemption, had reference to paying for a slave. A slave. A slave. And that's important for us to note, as we look just momentarily at God being a God of redemption. Have you ever noticed in the Old Testament how that the people of Israel were released from Egyptian bondage, that they were enslaved in Egypt? Enslaved. But through the blood of the Passover lamb, they were set free. God was painting a picture that there was a price that was needed to pay, to be paid for our release from slavery. Now, all of us, the human race, we are enslaved to sin. But what I want you to pay attention to in this particular passage in Galatians is that there's something that occurs. Something that occurs in redemption. Not only are we redeemed, but we are made part of the family of God. Now, there's two things that are very closely connected to redemption. We know that redemption separates us from slavery to sin. Actually, redemption is the setting free from sin. But there's another word that's necessary for us to fully understand redemption, and that's the word forgiveness. I want you to look with me in like Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14. Another very important a passage that talks about redemption. And in each of these passages of the New Testament, it tells us that we are redeemed by and through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Now, God didn't send forth His Son and He come down to this world and say, okay, what's needed to purchase the redemption for the human race? And pull out His wallet, you know, and start throwing out filthy lucre. No, He didn't use money. The thing that was necessary to secure our redemption was His death. His shed blood. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is what purchases our redemption. Now, let's look at these passages. There in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 14, it talks about in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. See, what I want you to grasp is that all of the grace that comes into our lives, all of it is made effective by redemption. Redemption is the key. It's the key to heaven. You have to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus. The price has to be paid specifically for you. Notice in that verse in Colossians, we have received. We have received. It's an experimental reception. You receive, personally, redemption. Not only that, but he mentions the forgiveness of sin. Actually, the forgiveness of sin binds us to the Lord. So we're set free from sin, and then we are bound to the Lord. Important for us to note. The same thing is said in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. There in that passage, it talks about we having redemption through the blood of Jesus understand the forgiveness of sin, the forgiveness of sin. We need to grasp this, because it's through this that the channel of grace comes into our lives. There's no foundation for true, genuine spiritual peace until you're redeemed. 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 Now, this redemption has to be a reality. Mark that in the margin of your Bible. It must be a reality in your life. In other words, you're a slave. All of us. You're a slave. A slave to sin. You are in bondage. There are spiritual chains of iniquity that hold you to eternal death and ruins. And you have to be set free. Now, each of us, when you start studying the subject of redemption, you realize that there are other things that are included. When you look at the function of redemption, when you look at the operation of redemption, there are some other things that come to light. There has to be regeneration. Regeneration is part of the process of redemption. When you experience redemption, you also experience regeneration. Now, somebody might say, well, where did this all begin? What was the origin of that? Now, we talk about personal redemption, and we do that as Christians as a point and a time and a place where we begin to be a Christian. You're not just born a Christian. You have to be reborn to be a Christian. You have to be born twice, amen, to be a Christian. And Christians, all Christians, are slaves that were set free. Every person apart from Jesus Christ, they were once slaves before they were adopted into the family of God. All of us were enslaved to sin, but there was a point in the time in our life where the price was paid, and we were set free, and the chains were loose, and we were made part of the family of God. We were adopted into God's family. Did you notice that the people of Israel of the Old Testament, they were set free from Egyptian bondage? They went across the Red Sea, and God marched them to Mount Sinai, and he gave the law. And he said, look, I know I just released you from Egyptian bondage, but there's a greater bondage. There's a spiritual bondage. And he gave them the law to make sin exceedingly sinful. Amen. To show them they needed to be released. They need to be set free from the condemnation. They need to be set free from the offense and the transgressions of God's law. And there's only one who can do that, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything they did from that point forward pointed to the blood. Pointed to the blood. Pointed to the blood to be shed on Golgotha's hill by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that would take away the sin of the world. He came to redeem us from sin. Actually, one of the words that we looked into when we studied this last time from Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, there's a word, a Greek word, apoletereos, that has reference to being loosened, set free, set free. But notice in this passage, he says we're not only set free from the curse of the law, but we are bound, released, and adopted. Released from sin. Released from condemnation. I'm telling you something, people. There is no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. No way. Jesus said in the 5th chapter of the book of John, verse 24, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he said, those that would come unto me, those that hear my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. No condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Those that exercise faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ experience the purchase, redemption, the price being paid for their souls and their lives. That's why we serve the Lord. That's why we follow the Lord. I feel that. Don't you feel that? I have been bought with a price. Well, some may ask, and I mentioned this earlier, when did all this begin? And we may have somewhat of a timeline that we talk about the work of redemption. God's work of redemption was immediate. It was instantaneous. He was concerned about us in our situation. He prepared for it before the foundation of the world. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7 that God knew, knowing that we were in need according to his wisdom, he ordained these things before the foundation of the world. In other words, I know it's hard for us to understand, but there was a way of escape and release, and there was a purchase, a price agreed upon for the purchase of the human race from sin before the foundation of the world. In 2 Timothy 1 and 9, it tells us that Jesus Christ, he was given before the world began. He stood, according to Revelation 13 and 8, as the Lamb, ready to be shed, as the price ready to be paid before the foundation of the world. You might talk about the timeline of our redemption. There in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, it talks about being redeemed, feeling that, experiencing that. We have received. We've received it. I enjoy it. I've experienced it. Amen? The release from sin. Now, he talks a little farther on in that first chapter of Ephesians. Verse 14, he talks about the purchase, redemption of the purchase possession. He was talking about the future redemption of our body. The past, the present, the future. Listen, my friend, there has to be a present experimental time and place in your life where you experience the redemption from sin. I can timeline my redemption. It was ready for me before the foundation of the world. I experienced it May 15th, 1972. When I was a 10-year-old boy, I got in trouble over my sins. I was convicted. I was conscious of the fact that I was enslaved to sin. God showed me that. He revealed that to me by the presentation of the gospel. I was in trouble over my sins and convicted. I went to the altar and I bowed down and I called upon the Lord and I prayed to the Lord and I looked to the Lord Jesus Christ to be my substitutionary atonement for my sins. And when I put my faith in him and trusted in him, turning from sin, I was gloriously saved. My sins were paid for. They were ransomed. Bible says in Mark chapter 10 that Jesus Christ came to be a ransom for our sins. Something happened inside of me. Did you read in that verse? Huh? In Galatians 4? When you are redeemed, the Spirit of Christ comes into you. I tell you what, there was a new life that came into me that wasn't there before. And according to the Bible in the book of Ephesians, it is the evidence, it is the guarantee of my future physical redemption, where I shall be like the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the earnest money on the inheritance. Man, I've got it in me. Listen, my friend, if you don't have the earnest of the Spirit in you, if you don't have the evidence of redemption within inside of you, if there's not a timeline that you can analyze and say, well, here I was lost and undone and on my way to a devil's hell, and right here I got saved by the glorious grace of God, and now I'm on my way to heaven. If you don't have that in your life, you need to get that kind of timeline. A timeline of redemption. Now, here at this church, we require it. It's mandatory. You hear me? Amen. You want to unite with this church? You talk about, tell us about the timeline. When it happened to you. Now, I know there's a lot of people with a lot of different views about predestination, and I believe in an end time calling. I believe in an end time election. Now that may be hard for some of our English Baptists and our other forefathers to embrace, some of our Calvinistic brethren. I'll tell you what, that's the way it happened to me. There was a time in my life where I was chosen as a child and adopted into the family. I was a slave to sin. Do you get it? In rags of iniquity. And the Lord Jesus Christ paid the redemptive price. He gave His life for my life. He suffered for my deliverance. He went down into Hades in a spiritual capacity and had the millstone of God's wrath around His neck and was underneath the wine press of the anger of God, something I fully don't comprehend. That stuff that should have been upon me was upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and He paid the judicial price for me. Amen. To set me free. He loosened my chains. I know a lot of people, I remember when Brother Moran years ago was preaching on redemption. He came across this passage in Galatians. It's a unique Greek word that's used for redemption here. It's exegarzio. And Brother Moran, and we got lit up. I mean, just shouting happy. And he was talking about how that this meant being purchased out of the form, how that it has reference to not just purchasing a slave at the slave market, but actually taking him off the market. But I was reading one day out of an old King James that had some references in it to Greek words, and it said, well, exaggeratio here in this particular passage, when you look at it in its context, it means this: to be not only taken off the market, but taken home. Adopted into the family of God. Set free from slavery and take it home. People, I'm part of the family of God now. I'm not a child of the devil. I'm a child of God. I've got a birth, a new birth, a spiritual birth to guarantee that. See, you can't have redemption without regeneration. Amen. You've got to have the Spirit of Christ in you. You have to experience that. There has to be a time and a place where that occurs in your life. The legal barriers that keep us out of fellowship with God and prevent us from having a relationship with God, all of that's removed through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And now we can have a relationship and a fellowship with a holy God. Praise the Lord. What a blessing that is. I'm trying to close. We're going to have baptizing today. Well, that's a... You know what it is? It's just simply a testimony that I have redemption in Jesus. In Titus, there's a passage that says that Jesus paid the ransom, or maybe it's the word redemption. I think it's ransom. Yeah, it's ransom. That He paid the ransom for everybody. For everybody. I believe it's a whosoever will. If you seek the Lord with all of your heart, you can find Him. Yeah. Jesus said, those that come unto me. Here's the problem, though. Many times people start seeking the Lord and they don't go to Jesus. Come on now. They try to get saved by their works or by their goodness. They don't want to admit that they're in bondage or enslaved to sin. They don't want to admit that they're a sinner, that they're a transgressor of God's holy law. But my friend, you'll never get saved by Jesus Christ, the Savior, until you admit you're a sinner, lost, separated from God, doomed to a devil's hell, and deserve to go there because of your iniquities. You know, it's all about redemption. Church should be about redemption. It's not about having fun. not about, you know, telling a bunch of stories. It's about the redemption price that was paid by the sacrificial blood of Jesus. The whole Old Testament was about redemption. Israel, what did they celebrate? One feast after another. They celebrated redemption. Moses, when he came out of Egypt, he wrote a song about redemption, and the book of Revelation tells us we're going to sing his song that he wrote about redemption. I know we like from time to time here at Victory Church talk about letting the redeemed of the Lord say so, but that's 107th Psalm. That's an Old Testament. They were to magnify the Lord for their redemption. I've been redeemed. Sometimes, don't you like that song? That's an old song. I like the old song. The old account was settled long ago. Paid for. Paid for in full. My friend, I've been paid for in full by the blood of Jesus. I'm his. It took his blood to purchase me. And I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. And I feel that down in my soul. Don't you feel it? When we get to heaven, it's going to be all about redemption. We're going to have those robes that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. What are we going to sing? Why, we're going to sing throughout the eons of eternity the song of redemption. The song the angels cannot sing because they cannot be redeemed. We're going to sing the song of redemption. Are you redeemed today? By the blood of Jesus Christ. My friend, if you have some kind of counterfeit salvation and you have some kind of works that are redeeming you, or some church has redeemed you, or some mother has redeemed you, listen, I love my mother and I love all the mothers, but I tell you, mothers can't redeem their children. It takes Jesus. 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 There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. It's by the name of Jesus that we are saved. A lot of people think that the price of other things is suitable, but they're wrong. There's only one price that's suitable for your redemption, and it was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Shed blood of Jesus. That's what purchased our redemption. God is a God of redemption. This church, this gospel that I preach, my ministry, the theme of it. I'll tell you what my theme is. It's a theme of redemption. I want you to examine your life. And if there's not a time and a place where you were born again of the Spirit of God, I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. Seek the Lord with all your heart until you get one of those. Where you go away knowing that you're free. The account was settled. It was paid for. That your account. It has to be a personal thing. Amen. Yeah. It has to be a reality, a personal reality in your life. Amen. You've got to experience it for yourself. I've been set free. The Lord is my Savior. He is my shepherd. He is my high tower. He is my fortress. He is my buckler. He has to be yours. He has to be yours. You have to know that for yourself. I'll tell you what, there's one verse nobody has ever been able to dodge. It's in the third chapter of John and verse 8. It puts it like this. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everybody. Everybody. I've had people tell me, say, well, you missionary, bad, do you think everybody's going to get saved the same way? Absolutely. Amen. You know why I believe that? Because Jesus said it has to be that way. Amen. He said in that passage in verse 8 of the third chapter of John, everybody has to have regeneration. God's Holy Spirit coming in contact with their spirit to let them know, to assure them that they're one of the redeemed, and they can go away not only knowing they're redeemed, but they're adopted into the family of God. And you'll feel that because the Spirit of Christ will come in you and you'll cry out, Abba Father. Abba Father. God is your parents, spiritual parents. We're standing. We're going to sing. If you're lost today, I'm going to ask you to seek the Lord while he may be found. call upon Him while He is near. A timeline of redemption, because God is a God that redeems. If you don't have one in your personal life, you need one. A time when you were lost and a time when you were found. A time when you were blind, then a time when you see. Amen. A time when you're in darkness and then a time when you're in light. Amen. Y'all know what I'm talking about? That's Bible. That's Bible. A time when you are under condemnation and on your way to hell, and a change occurs in you, and you come out of that change knowing that you are redeemed and on your way to heaven. If you have not had that, you must get that. You know why? Because Jesus said it is a must. Everyone must have it. Now let us sing. Is there someone here?